Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 5th anniversary. This is Austin Theory, and you're listening to WrestleCast Radio all day.
Hey, hello to all my friends of WrestleCast Radio. This is Flip Gordon, and I'm very excited to introduce you to one of my favorite wrestling radio shows.
Hey, what's up, guys, from WrestleCast Radio. This is Humberto Carrillo, WWE Superstar.
You are listening to WrestleCast Radio.
El Latino está en la casa, baby. Welcome to WrestleCast Radio.
Hello there, this is the Aerial Assassin, Will Ospreay, coming from you live from the Tokyo Dome in Japan. And you are listening to WrestleCast Radio.
What's going on? This is the man of the hour, Leo Rush, the 24-year-old piece of gold himself. And you are officially listening to WrestleCast Radio.
Shit. Time to get down, y'all. Time to get down, get funky. With your boy, Two Cold Scorpio. Get ready to open up this show live. Right here on the WrestleCast Radio. That's right. So if y'all already don't know, now you know. This is your boy, Two Cold, and I'm ready to get funky. So everybody out there, turn it up. Let's do this.
Name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry. Cause they love him in London and Paris and Tokyo, America, Scotland and Canada and Mexico. They say I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry.
Gentlemen, how you feeling? WrestleCast Radio 202. Alex, I believe. Damn it, I believe.
Am I Joe Hendry?
It could be. I've had the biggest boner over the last like 3 weeks of Joe Hendry.
Boner Patrol.
The last like Ring of Honor, I was like, God, this guy's entrance song is epic. And then I've been watching a lot of his IWC. Ireland Wrestling, I can't remember what the company, it's the one where like Grado was in and was like a huge, they would do the big Fear and Loathing where they're big shows, and like Drew McIntyre was there and a lot of those guys. Damo was a big Ireland company, and he would do like a parody song for every one of his opponents. And I've just fallen in love with this guy. I brought him into the summit. I had to wrestle Dominic Mysterio the first week to get an easy win.
Oh, did he get murdered? Meaning Dominic Mysterio?
Yeah. And then the second week, I bumped it up and brought back Naoya Nomura to get like a credible win. And then Nomura just gave him like 3 Death Valley drivers in one. And I was like, fuck.
I'm good with that. I'm very good with that.
I was looking at it and I was like, well, there goes that. And then, like, people in the chat were like, well, we don't have to believe in this guy anymore. Like, damn. Like, he did a parody of...
Wait, was he booked in AEW? Come on.
he did a parody of I'm Blue, but I'm Drew. And he's got, like, a paper face of Drew McIntyre on, and he's doing the I'm Blue song. And, like, at the Fear and Loathing, instead of I came in like a wrecking ball, he came in like a Hendry ball, and he's in like a giant hamster ball, and he does a head flip off it, lands on his feet. Like, it's real. It's shit's hilarious, the stuff that, like, go on there and watch some of the YouTube things. And I was like, this is one of the most creative dudes I've ever seen.
Nice. So, yeah, that does sound rather interesting. I'll have to check that out.
He did a version for their mania of what's the main like 7 minute long Queen song?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, he did a Bohemian Rhapsody, but like with about his opponent and stuff. And, like, he edited it where it's, like, his face on the top of the screen, then on the bottom, and then on the sides. And...
I like it. I like
it.
Yeah,
it's really, he did a really good job. He's awesome. So, yeah. That's all the time we got tonight for you.
I mean, I'm down. I'm down the clown for that.
Well, Joe Henry,
just like I was down the clown when no one was at the fitness center this evening.
You said you were gonna dance.
Yeah, I dance, I rap, I sing. I'll not jump on the stuff, but I'll stand on a bench maybe and let it all out.
What is your go-to your singing? Because I have a thought of what I think you should be doing.
Oh, what do I sing?
Yeah.
I mean, what I usually do, I'm not going to lie, I've been doing a lot of downstate lately.
Okay.
It gets me pumped on the treadmill. I'm just like, I am Cody Rhodes. Like, I totally get the song now. No, but I would say a lot of Kendrick. Alt-J, who I saw at the Armory a few weeks back, which was a month ago, actually. It was an amazing show. A band called Rainbow Kitten Surprise, who the name is outlandish, but what's cool about them is it's very like Kings of Leon mixed with Alt-J. It's like 6-7 people. It's some cool, you know, neo-noir folksy shit, which I dig. So they're going to be at the Armory, actually, at the end of the year. So I'm going to hopefully, barring my driving capabilities in the winter, might head down to that. So a lot of that. And Kanye, after watching a documentary finally, after, you know, finally reaching in and saying, all right, it's time. Because, you know, it's hard to defend him the last year or so. But finally watching that, it just made me feel the good old Kanye and everything that he freaking predicted, literally, you know, 20 plus years ago. And, you know, just seeing him being, you know, from the south side of Chicago, growing up, just, you know, hearing him and just watching all this. It was literally like watching the video through the wire, but just the long form 9 hour, because that's all it was. It was those videos, you know, this crew, but just phenomenal. And yeah, just doing, you know, Kanye deep dive, if you will.
I've heard the new Pusha T is very good.
Kyle gave it a pretty solid review. I think he said it's tizzle.
Tizzle. That's all right, man. I can relate, obviously.
We should come out and get Ryan Cinco de Mayo. Tech Nine is going to be in the house.
That's tight.
In Watertown, South Dakota.
I was hoping you were gonna be jamming out to this right here.
Well, I really don't know how to say it, but I guess I love you.
Look, Ken Oka.
Right. Should have. I do have a wrestling theme gimmick. I should try adding Ken Oka to the mix there. But yeah, man, if I'm just chilling on the treadie, I'll just sing, and it'll be like a music video at times. And I always tell the gym owner, I'm like, Steph, if you ever like randomly look through the footage, you could like do a splice like YouTube gag type of fucking video. Like, it's embarrassing, but I'm into it. You know, I'm not gonna lie. So, you know, it is what it is.
I was going to say, on a wrestling-related note, too, Warrior Wrestling 22, it's in St. Louis, unfortunately. But,
yes. Branson, how good for...
Will Ospreay, Davey Richards.
That's the main, eh?
Yeah. Woo!
That's like this weekend, isn't it?
I think so.
Should we go to St. Louis? No, I'm just kidding. I mean, that'd be tight. I'm not going to lie. They put on great shows. I mean, they truly do. It's awesome to see Steve and the gang, you know, starting from Marian Catholic, which is literally my neck of the woods, my next door community, the private prep school, if you will. yeah, they've just done phenomenal stuff. We've been lucky to do record there multiple times, enjoy the shows as fans, and to see them branch out into Indiana, which I despise. You know, it's Indiana. St. Louis, not any better. I'm not going to lie. Did not have a good time at that Elimination Chamber pay-per-view after or prior to the show. Nothing to really do there. But besides that, kudos. And I mean, again, like you said, Will Ospreay, Davey Richards, wow, especially after Ospreay being in Chicago just a few weeks back, taking on John Moxley in the main event at the Windy City Wrestling Glitch Fest because of the feed. Or Windy City Riot, I apologize, Windy City Riot, but yeah, because it was a Glitch Fest. We can't repeat what your text message said at the beginning of the show.
I have to say, if you want to talk about a glitch fest, I guess, if you will, I have checked out every Raw since WrestleMania.
What?
Yeah.
Are you okay, man? We need to really get you a lady.
And they... this last
night's
Raw.
No, I'm serious, Ryan.
Or last night's Raw. Excuse me. It might have been the best Raw that they've had in 10 years.
No. Was it Austin comeback?
No. But it was the Randy Orton 20th anniversary to the day, actually, of him debuting when he beat Hardcore Holly's debut.
Wow.
And so obviously Riddle introduces him, and then he brings up Cody to talk to him, and then Rollins starts talking smack because all the wrestlers are on the ring. And then Rollins gets in the ring, and then Ezekiel gets in the ring and talks about how he's watched Randy Orton since he's a kid, and his older brother Elias always showed him videos, and then Owens comes out and screams
about
him.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's like, no, that's Elias. I don't care that he passed the lie detector. He's freaking out. Then the Usos come out and make it all serious. And then Brawl breaks out. They did like an 8-man tag at the end of the show. And Mustafa Ali came back.
Tight,
and he's going to be in a program with Ciampa.
What?
Yeah, I was like, man, this is kind of tight. This is kind of a good show tonight.
I mean, I'm all for it. I mean, that it's something literally fresh. I don't think Mustafa Ali was in NXT, I don't believe. But and I don't know if they faced each other, you know, at, AEW, I want to say, out in Chicago. I should know that. You know, when Ali would wrestle there, you know, Ciampa, I know, has wrestled there, you know, quite a bit as well back in the aughts. So pretty interesting. I mean, I'm down to watch that program. Here's one for the working man, Coke Zero and all. But I mean, 10-man tags, I mean, I get it. I mean, it's a rest period. But, I mean, did they have any, like, special guests or, like, former wrestlers? I heard he shouted out Mick Foley, which I'm really happy. Take notes, Mark Calloway. Too busy bringing weapons into the locker room, reminiscing about that shit.
Yeah, I think what surprised me is Cody has just been Cody.
Yeah.
No, like he in the first week back he came out with for the Miz gimmick. And he's like, I came back here because there's so many superstars that I want to be able to say that I've beaten. And Miz corrects him. He said wrestlers, and Miz corrects him with superstars. And he goes, Mike, don't even try to correct me because I'm never going to change it. And everyone's like, oh, and then he's like, I'll do what my dad never did, and I will win the belt. I will take it home. And then Miz is like, belts are for pants, kind of like I always would say.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, we have titles. And he's like, sure,
champion,
I'll win the title. And I was like, you know, for the first time, I'm not mad at somebody using belt because he's, like, deliberately using the words they're not supposed to.
Hey, don't fall for the trap, man. You remember, like, wow, Cody's the biggest star in wrestling. He's the biggest face in the history of wrestling. He's the first, what, year and a half in AEW. And, I mean, he's getting that treatment on a grander scale, that's for sure. His WrestleMania entrance. Music and all from Downstate, my new favorite band, in the Mark Music Group Handbook. It's amazing the treatment that he's getting. What's that?
I liked his end of AEW run. I liked the mix.
Oh, so did I. I thought that was some really good work. It was a little, it was trying to be like what Danielson did when he, you know, kind of quote-unquote turned to heel, you know, during that program. But it was just like he was feeding into it without feeding into it. You know, he was still playing it, you know, how he wanted to, but he knew how to, you know, get under the skin. With the emphasis and the usage of words that he's known for. I know he's getting critiqued on the WWE level because they're fans, you know, they're not AEW marks like us. So, you know, they're, you know, trying to tell him to dumb it down. Sadly, I've been told to dumb it down in some instances with people, you know, in this community. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, I mean, I get where he has to do that because, you know, in the end, it's all for, you know, the business purposes. So I think they've been doing a good job. I've been watching the segments, whether it's on YouTube or, you know, I've been recording Raw, I'm not going to lie, a little bit more if I remember. And the Cody segments I've watched, and I loved him and Owens. I like what they're doing with Seth Rollins coming off of that fantastic match at Mania. And for him to keep boosting it, it's just like, when are they going to do him and Reigns then for the title? You know, since he is the literal Universal Champion, whatever the hell they're going to call it when they debut that new strap here pretty soon. I think for now, the programs that he's running, I like the thing with The Miz. I'm not going to lie. I kind of wish they would have stretched that in. But it's the E, so what do we expect but another rematch?
It's like when I watched like a 50-minute post-Mania press conference that he did with a bunch of the Mark writers. And they were like, well, what happens when they come to you with the promo and stuff? Because we know how great your promo skills will become. And he laughs and like, why? Because I still practice every day in front of my mirror like I'm a kid. And they all laugh. You know, he's like, I love it. He goes, look, you want me to be honest with you? You want me to tell you the corporate answer? Because he got corrected by one of the stagehands about saying wrestler after like the fourth time during this thing.
Yeah.
And that's why somebody brought up the thing about writing his promos. He goes, look, he goes, I'm gonna just tell you like it is, and they might not like this, but that's what happens when you get to, you know, make your own contract to say. He goes, I'll smile and thank the writer for giving me the material, and I'll tell him to, you know, make sure to get over it, get the bullet points to be ready to cut the promo. And then when I close the door, I'm going to put it in the garbage can. And he goes, they might not like me saying that, but I'm going to be nice to their face at least.
Man,
he's
what
like,
a,
I'm
what
here,
a
I've shown.
Savage he is.
He's like, I've shown. He goes, I left this company to prove to them that I can, that I am a bigger star than they're using me for. And now I'm here to prove it. And, you know, that's why we were able to talk good business. So it sounds like, and these shows have actually felt like Vince has kind of let up a little bit. Like, I still fast forward over almost all of it because I still don't care. But
I'm
the
sorry,
stuff
I
do watch is that. I
was trying to get married to Tamina, and I dipped out. And I was like, nope, not for
I'll
me, bro.
What?
Not for me.
I laughed during that segment.
Boo.
Because, like, Tamina then ends up with both women together and both men together. And like, Tamina looks at Liv, and Liv's like, all right. And they go to, like, or not Liv Morgan, Dana Brooke. See, I still can't tell them apart. But they, like, they're getting ready to, like, they kind of put their arms on each other. And then, meanwhile, you see Tozawa and Reggie are, like, Tozawa's, like, just trying to kiss the hell out of them. And you're like, whoa. And then they end up getting switched back to normal. And then they, like, they do all the you may kiss the bride shit or whatever. And Reggie, like, bends her over and starts kissing her. And then he stands her up. And then he does a schoolboy and pins her to win the title back. And then
is it really? That's well done. That's well done.
And then Tamina takes him down and pins him. And then Tozawa goes under her dress, and she can't see him because of the big dress and how small he is. Also, she falls over, and he comes out from the dress with the title. And then Dana Brooke rolls him back up and pins him and re-wins it. And then she leaves, and she looks at the title, and she's like, I guess it's just us. And she starts making out with the title. But before that...
Oh, my God, that's great. I love that finish. I got to watch that now again. Because I, like, legit turned it off halfway through, but... I'm going to get Dana Brooke making out with an inanimate title. Count me the bleep in.
And the only reason I stayed with it is because R-Truth, like, the crowd's, like, chanting random shit because they hate it. And Truth's like, no, stop. He's like, if you don't stop, they ain't going to have me back here, and I need to get booked. So could you please be quiet so we can finish this?
That's great.
And the crowd's, like, laughing. He's like, then Reggie's going on to do his speech. The crowd's getting up in arms because they're getting so frustrated. And Truth's like, excuse me. I said, please stop. I want them to bring me back next week. Can you please be quiet and just make noise when they're done? We're almost finished. And everyone's laughing. And, like, all the wrestlers are laughing at this point now. So now I'm watching because Truth has got me so enamored to watch.
That's great.
Otherwise, like, if it would have been, like Eric Bischoff, I would have never got to the finish. But Truth is so damn funny. He's like, if you get out of hand, they're going to think it's my fault. They won't bring me back. Random shit like that. He's great.
Man, Ron definitely knows how to killing the audience.
Oh, man. Sure. Well, look at him and Lesnar. Like, Lesnar's like crying, laughing with him.
Very true.
I mean Lesnar develops the rock.
Him with everyone, really. I feel bad because I always used to shit on R-Truth back in TNA or whatever. I'm like, who's this guy? Well, he's just breakdancing and whatever. And, his character, just over the last 20 years, just amazing. Just fun stuff to watch. And he's a hell of a talent. And I wish I could look like that when I'm 50, whatever he is. It's insane.
Oh, God, I know. He's yoked.
50.
People over there, what's up?
Well, maybe I can get there because of all the wonderful supplements and products and snacks I've been getting from repsports.com. That's R-E-P-P sports.com. Use the promo / coupon code at checkout to save 15%. WrestleCast, that's Wrestle, C-A-S-T, at checkout, 15% off. Get those beach bodies ready, baby. or get like Cook and grow your hair out and look baller by getting on that pro testosterone and get that muscle level up as well by utilizing their Weight Plus and a bunch of other wonderful intra-workout supplements. And, yeah, I mean, I've been getting compliments with my post from earlier, so kudos. I am now Alex Miro, thanks to you, Ryan. I've been blushing all day. I was like, oh, you think I'm Miro. I love it. So thank you for making a gal feel wanted. I appreciate it.
I was like, whoa, it's Miro, man.
I'm not going to lie. It's a great picture. I was like, I have to share this with the world.
You're tight as hell.
And then Johnny Depp thing. I mean the clip. I don't know if you've been watching the trial clips with him and Amber Heard, but man, these lawyers that she got are the worst, and they're like bumblers. And he literally asked Johnny Depp. He was like, "Would you say that you're like considerably bigger than Miss Amber Heard?" And he's like, "No, I wouldn't think so." And then like he's smiling. The people in the courtroom are laughing, and they show Amber Heard, and it's like hard for her to like not laugh, but also scream obscenities at him. And the poster, who did has been doing all this research for the trial, just cut in like or cued in Curb Your Enthusiasm's theme, which is like my favorite show in the world. So it was like the best thing ever, and I've been thinking about that since I saw it. So it's wonderful.
Yeah, I couldn't get into. That was about the extent of it for me. Was watching the Amber Heard pooping in his bed or whatever.
That's so random.
That chick's nuts. That chick is what we call a quack job.
You've known a few of those, haven't you?
I've done some dirties with some of them.
Whoa, some dirty.
Some of the dirty.
Same Paul.
I did want to say that I know we're way past Mania, you know, a month or 3 weeks past Mania season now. Like, totally understand all that. But I do want to say that I think night two of Mania was the best Mania I've seen since like 30.
Really? And I enjoyed night one.
I loved it. I don't know what it was, but I loved the Jackass match.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Did you see Jackass Forever, by the way?
Yeah, I bootlegged it like the first day it came out because I didn't want to go to the theater.
You bootlegged it? Man, I saw that shit in the theater because I'm
tight. Yeah, but I'm always
worried
about falling asleep. So that's why I didn't go.
Damn. A Dark Knight situation.
I have watched it on Paramount Plus also.
Oh, nice.
So I watched it twice. But, like, when Weekend actually body slammed him, I was like, that's tight. And when he kicked him, Weekend in the face, I've never laughed so hard in my life.
Really?
Oh, it's so funny. He just kicks this midget in the face. And, like, just, I don't know, just like,
there.
Oh, yeah. He Yakuza kicked this smaller human being.
I appreciate that.
But, like, everything, like all the gags were funny. Like, everything worked well. I actually didn't hate the women's four-way tag. I thought that was actually okay.
Yeah. Yep.
I thought Lesnar and Reigns was actually picking up, and it was a stiff fight like I wanted it to until it looked like Reigns' arm got ripped off, which you could tell they had to stop it because that shouldn't be that. It was his bicep was as purple as Shane McMahon's face usually is.
Yeah, it was pretty horrific to catch that. You kind of notice obviously after that spear by Reigns to Lesnar's barricade that, you know, kind of the match flow kind of halted a little, and then that Kimura spot, and then you see all the memes after Mania, and they're like, yeah, it shouldn't look like that. You're like, holy shit. and I had no idea what they were going to do with the title, but I don't think Reigns has wrestled since Mania, correct?
I don't even think he's done house shows.
Yeah. Oh, so he has been doing house shows? So, yeah. I mean,
no, I don't think he's done house shows either.
Oh, then, well, I mean, yeah, here, they're probably look. Just using caution, which is smart.
Let me pull up the good old cage matches. He's been wrestling...
In eight,
he's had four matches against Drew McIntyre, which were all 2 weeks. He wrestled the last two weekends against McIntyre on house shows. And then the Raw after the Raw after Mania, he worked. It was New Day and McIntyre defeated Bloodline in a six-man, which maybe he didn't even touch anything. So it's probably a good week or two before he got back in the ring.
Okay. Yeah, because everyone was panicking, of course. They're like, oh, the title's going to be relinquished. What do you do now? Do you bring back him? Do you bring back this guy? So, you know, I think, you know, Reigns is still doing, I mean, fantastic work for prolonging this, you know, silence. You know, kind of assassin gimmick, the Bloodline, you know, it is what it is, but it's not something that's kept me afloat on watching, you know, SmackDown on a Friday. But I will say, you know, when we get into night one, it's definitely also not, the House of Edge or whatever the hell they call themselves.
Judgment Day.
They mentioned their name. What's the stable name?
Judgment Day.
Wasn't that a pay-per-view for, like, 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
And, wait, what?
Yeah.
Why did they just call it Judgment Day?
I don't know. Who cares? Edge is boring. Who cares about Edge? That tag team opener was hot, too.
Was it?
The RK-Bro
Street Profits and Alpha Academy. Hell yeah, it was.
I was like, finally, an opening match on a pay-per-view that's hot for this company. Like, let's get into it. I know it's gotten not the greatest reviews, but I was all in on Lashley Almost. I loved it. I was like, this is a fight. And when Lashley came back and won, I was so jacked. Because I thought there was no way they were going to have him win.
I didn't know what they were going to do with that at all until, of course, the next night, where one of the saddest days of my life, with many factors going into that day, but it was capped off when Lashley was left at the altar by MVP. The man, I would say, that kind of resurrected Bobby Lashley's career by being a great mouthpiece for the Hurt Business. Fantastic stable from the, what do you call it, the Thunderdome era, the PC era?
Yeah, that's a good way.
So, you know, it kind of sucks, but I don't, again, I'm not sure what's happened. I know AEW has their own Giant Gonzalez issue at the moment, so maybe that's overshadowing my watchability of Almost. But hopefully MVP can help boost him and make that claw skull crusher believable as it was on AEW.
I loved how it was sloppy, so it felt like a real fight.
And that's all the Lashley matches that we always say are like, wow, that was a really good match, like with a Strowman, Lesnar, where it's just a sloppy fight where you're like, they're just going to beat the shit out of each other. Because, oh, yeah, he's a legit MMA dude.
When he speared Almost in the back, I popped so hard. I was like, yeah, let's go. He just speared him in the kidneys. This is tight.
And for him to come back from injury?
Yeah.
What, 6 weeks? Amazing. They were like, he's going to be out for 3, 4, 5 months, 6 weeks. Got to get that payday, man. Play him off.
I thought McAfee Theory was good.
I enjoyed that match very well. McAfee, I don't know anyone that dislikes him, to be honest, because he's just a likable douche, bro. I mean, not a douche. He's a likable bro.
Oh,
You know, with certain views, but he doesn't throw that shit down the viewer's throat. And I love his reactions on SmackDown. I love him jumping on the table, as I think many people do. So, I mean, and I've watched his shows, you know, interviewing wrestlers or other athletes or, you know, just talking with his team. It's just cool shit. And then for him to actually be a wrestling mark all his life and input that into his football career is really cool, as I saw from the, you know, clip packages and everything on McAfee, which I didn't even know or recognize during those Colt runs. So, very cool match, and I was surprised that he beat Austin Theory, but I didn't mind him beating Austin Theory as well. Again, McAfee puts on another stellar match after his Adam Cole match, and he was in a War Games too, wasn't he?
Yep, he was in a War Games. I watch his YouTube, the sports show that he has every day. Like, I don't watch necessarily all of it.
Coming soon to Amazon. He's going to be the Thursday night commentator.
The only thing that I don't like that McAfee's done was his Vince interview, but we've already talked about that. Like, that was just so company line. I hated it.
But it was still enjoyable. It was still seeing a different side of Vince in a way.
I just completely Yakuza kicked my speaker. There we go. Holy hell, that was odd. I didn't mean to do that. It, you know, as bad as it was, I enjoyed McMahon and McAfee.
When he showed that black A shirt, I can't call it the two other names it's known for, but when he pulled out the Mr. McMahon gimmick, I was like, what? And we got a match.
I couldn't believe it.
McMahon wanted a football to his sternum, which then caused him to get the pinfall victory over Pat.
Vince McMahon is such a badass man, like a male. That he wins by kicking a football into the man. Like, I was like, this rules, man. At this point, I was like, this show is so tight. I wasn't looking forward to the New Day tag match just because I'm not into the program. So I was fine when that was 1:43.
Hey, no Butch, and I rioted by not watching that.
And Edge and Styles was fine, but I was like, man, this is. Why does every Edge match have to be so long? God. But I mean, like,
Oh my God, that was, how long do you, oh my God. I don't know if you have the times on there, but
24-27.
It was literally double the main event. I didn't realize the main event was only 12 minutes. I thought that was like over 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was over 10 minutes longer than the second longest match on that show.
You literally, which was the Knoxville-Sami Zayn match, you literally could combine the final three matches. You could throw in that horrific play of Sheamus, Ridge Holland defeating the Nick. You could do the last four, and it would almost equal that same match. I don't know if that's even counting entrances, but holy shit. And we love us some AJ Styles. What went wrong with this match?
It's just long. It's like the Mighty Don't Kneel Finn Juice match. It was fine in a vacuum.
Which is still going on.
Yeah. Why does it need to be 27 minutes? Like, fuck. Get off the television. We have other things to see. Oh my god! Like that blew my mind.
So who do you think had the pull to say, "Hey, you know what, Vince? We're gonna go double the time of your main event."
Oh, I'm sure it's Edge going, "Well, you know, I need to make sure that you know I get all my angles in. They need to see me pull my hair out and things like that. And, you know, I tell these stories, so." And they're like, oh, yeah, you can go as long as you want. Damn it, you're back. You didn't go to AEW. Oh, thanks. Thanks so much. And then that was how it was. That's what happened.
That was it? All right, well, good night, folks.
Night one I thought was good. I enjoyed it. I thought you had two 4-star matches, maybe 4.5 on the singles,
yeah.
The non-title. But to be honest, I never said I didn't like it. I said I didn't like it as much as the first night. Like, okay, Charlotte and Rousey sucked. That was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, talk about lack of chemistry. I mean, that was like pretty much my teenage years into my 20s. Hi-oh! And then I got on repsports.com, and whoo. You know this, Alex Ryan. It's not going to be good for a while.
That's okay. This one stacked is going to beat somebody's ass. There's nothing you can do about it. Look, I popped stupid hard for Cody when he knew it was going to happen, but she didn't know it was going to happen. And then when it happened, I was like, fantastic. Let's go. Match was great.
You got
Every
the entrance
before. Yeah, when we heard that it wasn't whoa,
boom,
I was
boom.
Like, okay, we're safe. Thank God.
We heard the heartbeat, and we're like, oh, tight. And then they did it. Everything with more pyro.
God, it was so good. When Belair and Lynch slowed down, it got really good. It was really sloppy at first because they were going so fast. But I think when they slowed down and started getting on the same page, I thought the last 5 to 10 minutes was fantastic. I thought the first 5 minutes was a little rough going. I didn't like it, and then they won me over when they started figuring out. So that one, I 4-star for me on there. I thought Austin Owens was great.
Oh, that was a fantastic segment. I mean, I don't know if it was a match per se, but when Austin took that suplex to the outside, I was like, oh, my God, he's dead.
And every time Austin was kicking Owens down the stage, I was standing in the living room going, yeah. Like, just imagine that's what Steve Austin, I was having the time of my life.
It was one of the best things ever. And for Kevin Owens to get that main event spot, well-deserved, signing that new contract with Stone Cold Steve Austin. The build was very sloppy. Yeah, the tea was spilled on the internet, kind of leading up to it. Is it a will they, won't they? What the hell are they going to do? Did they really just botch this? Didn't really sell too many more tickets, per se. I don't know if they would have called this a match, back in February. If they possibly could have been closer to a sellout, Or if that name even has that cachet as it did 20 years ago, which obviously it still does because, you know, 60,000 still went nuts, as did all of we watching it at home. But no, this was, I mean, nothing short but your feel-good, go-home type of thing in Texas. Austin beating that crazy Canuck. And, yeah, just drinking beers, giving stunners. Only one stunner, which I was happy. Yeah.
I was like, I mean, here's this nerdy coach announcer guy that's going to come in here and get stuttered. So I'll say this. I think.
But he didn't kick him in the dick this time. He did not kick him in the dick.
You know why it didn't feel like a big deal, even if they called a match? What happened the last time WrestleMania was in Texas?
Did Taker put his hat in the ring?
Steve Austin came down to the ring with Mankind and I can't remember the third guy.
Oh, the New Day?
And they went and fought the Wyatt family.
Oh, that was the Wyatt family one? What?
Yeah.
That happened?
Yeah, it was... Who was it? It was Austin Foley and somebody.
Probably Shawn Michaels, that bastard. Freaking
Shawn
promise.
Michaels. Shawn Michaels, Mania 32.
Yeah, but you know what I rewatched, though, before this year's Mania? I rewatched the beginning WrestleMania 30 segment in New Orleans at the Silver Dome, brother, with Hogan, pre-racist leaks. So he was still kind of loved. Hogan, Austin, and The Rock. And I was literally like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old again, just thinking this is the coolest thing ever. Yeah, Hulk Hogan's a douchebag, you know, in certain areas, but he's still, you know, the real American Hulk Hogan. He's still one of the most evilest heels in the world. And to kind of see all that together, I mean, the nostalgic factor, I mean, was a million on that love fest scale. So it was cool to see. So for that, I say Austin definitely deserved this spot, with Owens,
but,
and it was a fine with
that. That's where I'm going, is it's like every 30th Raw anniversary or 100th Raw or whatever those specials is, Austin's always out there giving somebody a stunner. He's been at multiple Manias doing the same thing. So it's like...
What, do you want to give someone a Luthes press?
Well, I just mean, like, that's why I don't think it was special and sold the tickets. If he hadn't come out for, you know, three Manias after retiring since then to do the same shtick or been on Raw 10 times doing it, like, you remember, you know why the Rock thing was special? It's because we didn't see him for years, you know?
What was it, 20? No, we just saw, wait, are you talking about when we saw him at 29?
28, or 27.
28 and 20, no, it was 2 years in a row, it was 28 and 29.
Yeah, 28 and 29.
Because once in a lifetime. Again.
When he came back and beat Punk, and then he was champ for 3 months, showed up on Raw, like, and worked like a full, like a, not a full schedule, obviously, because you don't want to oversaturate it, they're smart about it. But, like, that felt like a big deal because he hadn't been there for, you know, since Mania 20 or whatever. Effectively, even before, just to plant the seeds. But it's like, Austin's, it's, and he's being advertised every week because of his podcast or radio show or TV show or whatever. It's like, it wasn't like he's never around. And I think that was the difference why it didn't feel like
Austin. Yeah, but him, like, fighting for more than like 2 minutes,
we didn't know that. So when the bell rang, then I went, okay, this is different.
Yeah.
And I went,
why did
okay,
the bell ring
in
a no holds barred match, by the way?
Well, because you got to at least start the match.
Touche.
I don't know. They once called a DQ and a Hell in a Cell.
Again, yeah, touche. You are correct.
I don't know, Steiner's out here on the floor. He's got the red, white, blue running through his veins. Wait a minute, it is. He was born and raised in the U.S. of A. Oh, my God, it's Hulk Hogan. That's when Hogan came back on, like, the new stage Nitro in, like, 2000.
Oh, geez. The way he came back to that shitty 1993 WCW song?
Yep, because that was when
that
he came back.
That is gross. That is disgusting.
That's when he was there to fight the new blood. And then he worked with them. Which leads to a story we had told a couple people on radio, on Xbox, me and Jordan, that a man once called in on the radio and asked about, so I don't remember how we got talking about hardcore matches, and he was like, Billy Kidman was in a hardcore match. And we're like, okay, thank you, and then hung up on the guy.
Wow.
Do you remember that dude? He was talking to us about some kind of, why shouldn't they do a table match or something? And he was like, Billy Kidman did a table match. Do you remember that?
No, I don't. But I want to reconvene with this guy and see what's up and his love of Billy Kidman as a producer.
I just remember you were like, oh, and I was like, F-U-N-B, because of what Hogan would yell, and then I hung up on him.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
It was in, like, the same time frame where that one guy called and he cut a promo as, like, The Undertaker, and we were like, what? And he's like,
oh, that I remember.
You guys think The Undertaker should be champion again? And we're like, no! Why? And then that was also in the same summer as that guy that was like, well, I really like that Bailey and her behind. That guy was all horny from like Alabama. Do you remember that dude?
I think I do.
He's like, I like the women's wrestling. They're doing really good. And I really like that baby. And that Bailey, she got a booty on her. But they're all really good.
What a weird pervert.
Yeah, that was that summer we got some weird-ass phone calls.
And then you were like, stop taking calls. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that was the end of that. Ooh, that guy's like, Billy Kidman was in a hardcore match. I was like, what the fuck are you talking
Wait,
about?
Was it Braun Strowman or Ryback?
Oh, my God. I said, I really want to see if he remembers now. I don't think he's going to answer, but we're gonna make an impromptu phone call since this is just a hodgepodge-ass show going anyway. I want to see if he answers, and if he does, he might remember the story better.
So while we call him, I will say Belair and Becky Lynch was definitely the match of the weekend.
I got to put Cody over.
Hello?
Jordan, why did that guy call again and go, Billy Kidman was in a hardcore match?
I don't recall why, but all I know is Hulk Hogan. I think it's because Hulk Hogan put him over somehow, like, in the hardcore match. Hulk Hogan went to a table.
Because I was telling Alex about it, he didn't remember it. I was like, I'm going to call Jordan because we were just talking about this. Billy Kidman
That was wild. Yeah, you did. Hogan was putting people over in hardcore matches, man.
we decided that was probably the day that I said we're never taking phone calls again.
Oh man, that might have been it. It was either that or the guy that wanted to talk about the Undertaker.
we talked about him. How he cut a promo as the Undertaker too, which I forgot about.
I think it was like, I think that might have been the same one as who's the guy you had on that did the who's the fanny pack gimmick?
Fanny pack gimmick.
The wrestler, Canadian guy, I think.
Oh, Danny Duggan.
Yeah, I think that might have been the same episode as when you had Danny Duggan on. We're gonna have to check the tapes.
Wait, was that the guy that busted through that wall in that promo, Ryan?
The Shockmaster?
No, the one guy, and he was all, it was like a promo video for this wrestler we interviewed, and he was like busting through a wall, and he's like,
No, that was like the weird macho, the fake Ultimate Warrior guy?
Yeah, Primal Fear or whatever. Primal Warpath.
I mean, he was doing cool stuff for like helping the people, but...
Because he had that video where when he would bust through the walls and it was like, and they were fighting that.
Think about it. He was PCO before PCO.
Aw, shut up, PCO.
And then I mentioned to Alex about the guy that was like, Manette Bailey and her booty.
Man, you got to open up the lines again for regular callers. You got to let them know, like, hey, we're opening up the lines tonight.
I think we should.
Oh, man.
I agree.
All right. Thank you, Jordan.
Maybe. For sure. And just for the record, can you just hit me with a little give me some sort of good sound effect off the bar just to make me feel good. I don't know what you have, but give me something. I don't know if that was the one, but that made me laugh.
He said, "Fuck that."
Cut that bitch off.
There you go.
Oh, I hung up on Alex.
You failed. You failed. What? Swerve. It's a swerve. It's a work. I'm Jordan. I'm your new co-host on WrestleCast Radio. You can find me here on Tuesday night. Tuesday nights, we're over here. We're taking over.
Man,
he
got
posted.
He just turned on him. He turned on Mello.
That son of a bitch. That son of a bitch. Who's here to help? Who's here to help?
Yeah, he's on. I just came in like Hogan, leg dropped the other guy. Oh,
oh man, Heenan was already in on it, man. Terrible.
You think he was?
When
he said, "Who's he here to help? Who's he?" Like, he already put the doubt in the mind, man.
Oh.
Also, I got offended. Just for a record, a couple of weeks back when Paul Heyman said he's the best manager ever, I still took a little exception just because of Bobby Ring Heenan, for the record.
Yeah, I appreciate
Heenan family.
That.
A worthy conversation. Also, speaking of worthy conversation, I was watching the like wrestling Rumble or whatever, like the WrestlePalooza Rumble rap, and
Scott Hall
from like 19. Yeah, with Scott Hall, but also, for a guy who hates rap, Kurt Hennig dropping some bars on that joint too. Okay, I'm just gonna throw
that
out
there. That was the wrestle
right.
rap for that was for the Super Clash at the Metrodome.
Yeah, so
there was a big show at the Metrodome.
Yeah, that was the AWA did a big show with like Mid South and something else, and it was Jerry Lawler and Kerry Von Erich in the main event for like the NWA and AWA title, I think it was. I could be wrong. Or like the world class of the AWA or the NWA, doesn't matter, but it was like title for title. And Jerry Lawler's blade in his wrist tape was sticking out and cut Kerry Von Erich's bicep in the opening 2 minutes.
Oh.
And they had to cut the whole match like short and everything because they couldn't get the arm to stop bleeding. So, like, they had to get him to the hospital. So, like, the
and
big payoff at the Metrodome never happened, or, like, was, like, a shitty-ass match.
Were you there?
Oh, man. Zabisco was on the card, too, and he did the rap, too, man. Zabisco killed it.
Yeah, he did.
My name is Larry
like,
D,
a couple of guys
I'm here
were really,
say.
A couple of guys were really in on it, too. They were emphasizing, man. But Marty Jannetty and Michaels were terrible in the beginning there.
I'm trying to
one,
see.
One of those guys guaranteed to send some frails right through you.
Send the frails right through you. Maybe it was a Super Clash. It was in Chicago. I lied. It was at the UIC Pavilion.
The Rumble Wrap was for the Minnesota event, for sure.
Was it?
Yeah. Because it was at the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome.
Brother.
Yes, so the Super Clash 3 was in Chicago. Huh. That was Super Clash 3. So that's from 1853, and Lawler won the title via referee decision. Because they ended up stopping it, so.
Well, that's got to make Cody Rhodes even more angry if the title changed hands on a ref decision.
Yeah, this might have actually been the show. Yeah, because Slaughter and Colonel the Beers had the boot camp match.
I'm just surprised that they went with Lawler and Kerry Von Erich. And what year was this?
It was 1988. Lawler was the NWA champion, and Von Erich was the world class. It was world class. That's what it was.
Okay. Wow. That's. I mean, that makes sense. But wow, he was AWA champ. That's interesting.
There was a street fight Lawler battle royal on there in 1988.
So what's that?
Can any of you name me the participants of the Street Fight Lingerie Battle Royal?
Oh, man.
Oh.
How ahead of the curve was that? Like, I mean, young Vince was like, ah!
Holy shit. So, the Terrorist defeated Bambi, Brandy May, Lori Lynn, Luna Vachon, Malibu, Nina, Peggy Lee Leather, and Pocahontas.
Oh man!
Wow!
I hope Pocahontas. I hope for the. I really hope for the sake of you know, appropriation that Pocahontas was not a white chick.
All that's on her cage match is she was from Wyoming, and her finishing move was the Indian Deathlock. And that was the. That's literally the only match she had in her career.
Man.
Luna must have really messed her up then.
Craig
R.I.P.
defended the TV title against Ron Garvin. Iceman King Parson defeated Brickhouse Brown. Jimmy Valiant, Boogie Woogie Valiant defeated Wayne Bloom of the most nasty finishing move known to mankind, in the Shaker Height Spike, in 24 seconds.
Huh.
And Eric Embry won the world class lightweight title in 4:13 from Double James.
Jeez, what was the longest match on the card?
I think it was the main event was 18 minutes, but it was a lot of stalling because they couldn't get the blood to stop.
Oh man, terrible.
Wahoo McDaniels defeated Manny Fernandez in an Indian strap match.
Whoa.
Oh, that's tight. That's tight.
Some good shit on there.
I'm going to find that and watch it one day. All right, gentlemen, appreciate the call.
Hell yeah. I had to buzz you after we started talking about the Billy Kidman thing.
Billy Kidman.
Yeah, all right, y'all.
Have a good night, sir.
Make sure I hang up on the right person this time.
I was like, damn, show's over.
Heel
all
turn.
Right.
Heel turn.
It was me. I still remember in gym class, I think it was like sixth grade, we were playing floor hockey, and not going to lie, I was doing really well. And then, sixth grade. And so we're playing, right? And then all of a sudden, like, I look at this kid, I was like, hey. He's like, what? And this is like the week after the whole Ministry of Darkness, you know, Vince, you know, showing that he was the leader all along. And I was like, hey, when you get the puck, I'm going to run up to my goal and I'm going to shoot and I'm going to score. And then I'm going to turn on my team and you're going to win. He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, just trust me. And then so I did the whole heel turn. I was like, ha, and I was like, it was me. And no one knew what the hell I was doing or what I was talking about. And they just thought I was a huge asshole. So ever since then, I've been a huge asshole. That's my origin story, folks. Wrestling.
Oh, my God. Wow, they got Roxy Artie in the main event at NXT 2.0. That was quick.
What's her name now? Like Raquel Gonzalez?
Roxanne Perez.
I mean, I was close.
And now Casey Catanzaro, they had to change her name, and she's now Katana Chance.
What? What's her last name?
Chance.
Wow.
And then because they don't want Raul Mendoza to use his name, he's now Cruz del Toro. Can't make that up.
Wow, I don't think we can do anything else. Just by you saying that name, that was perfect.
You can't make that shit up. it's just,
oh my God!
I wonder if I can find.
But you just said it was so enjoyable. It's so crazy to me. Parts of it, not all of it. Parts of it.
I don't like it anymore. I can't watch it anymore. It's bad now. Did you know they were talking about changing Dakota Kai's name only to realize that they did change her name from Evie to Dakota Kai, so they realized they didn't have to do it? They were going to change
her name. Oh, so they only get one name change and that's it. I thought Austin Theories had three.
They were going to rename her Clarice Rivers.
Oh, gross. That is disgusting.
Yeah,
I feel shame.
I can tell you I do too. That's a horrifically awful name.
I still remember no one was in her autograph line at that show I went to in Florida. Ricochet's first appearance, filming that shit. Yeah, I just remember no one was in her line because she was hurt. And I was like, man, she's been hurt a lot. And I was like, man, that's sad. And then, like, we had eye contact for, like, 2 seconds. I was like, nope. And then I just walked the other way.
Like, I'm going that way.
And then she became a really cool heel. And I'm like, oh, man. So she found herself.
Yeah.
Damn, Mania. So, what were some of your favorite matches, though, from the, what did you say? I believe you said you were at 21 shows during WrestleMania weekend.
Oh, okay. So I'll pull up my list here, and then I made that list you asked for. So let me pull this up here. Going to my documents. So let's see. Let's start here. So I watched, I finished the New Japan Cup. Game Changer Wrestling, Josh Burnett at Bloodsport. I watched AAA Invades WrestleCon, GCW Planet Death, ROH Supercard of Honor, Janela Spring Break, Night 1 and 2, New Japan Strong and Star Shootout, Impact Wrestling Multiverse of Matches, WrestleCon USA versus the World, NXT Stand Up and Stand and Deliver, the Mark Hitchcock Memorial Show, Game Changer Wrestling presents JCW LA Fights, Zicky Dice Trouble in Paradise 2, Game Changer Wrestling for the Culture 2022.
Ooh.
And then obviously I watched both Manias and some of the Carnival, or as the last All Japan. Wow. So, yeah, I watched like 21 shows. I was watching two shows at a time a couple of the days. I would have dual screens to go and watch the two things. But, yeah, I probably watched a good 50, 60 hours of wrestling Thursday to that Sunday.
Jesus. Watch out, ladies.
That's what I took off work to do. So, Mania Weekend Top 10. Let me get this booted up. Number 10 was from Spring Break Night 1, Jon Moxley versus AJ Gray for the Game Changer title. Now, I know a lot of people haven't given it as high of a rating as I did, but I really like AJ Gray. I think he works really hard.
Yes.
And that's why I always give him a little bit of a higher boost.
I mean, the man thought he could jump off a ladder from the outside of the ring. Totally biffs jumping off, hits the turnbuckle, breaks his leg, and then finishes the match. I forget if he wins or not. Maybe
he
does.
Yeah, he won. That's why he got the shot.
And then he did that spot before he won that match while almost murdering himself. So, yes, we like AJ Gray on this show.
And I love watching all the, like, goofy-looking white dudes singing Waka Flocka when he comes out. This is funny.
Oh, you were one of those white dudes, man, when we used to play Waka Flocka in the car.
Yeah, but at least I got a little bit of rhythm. Some of these fucking guys.
Do you think if you would have went to the draft with Sportscast Radio, which, by the way, check out on all streaming podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, also blogtalkradio.com/StrongStyleMedia, and, of course, on the podcast formats, always search Strong Style Media for Sportscast Radio and, of course, WrestleCast Radio.
Yeah, tomorrow, 8 p.m., live draft show. We got
live draft show.
I think 9 or 10 writers. No, 12. Nice. I think 12 or 13 now. They're going to join us. So they're going to all pick.
Are you going to do a reaction show on Thursday?
I don't know. We're trying to figure out what we want to do. We've done 3 or 4 shows in the last like 10 days.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
getting a lot of that draft coverage in, having some fun. So we'll see. We were thinking about doing a show during the draft, but I kind of just want to watch it.
Yeah, I was thinking that. That makes sense. What do you think of the T-Wolves collapse to go down 3-2?
I haven't seen it yet. I didn't. I walked in my door and came right on here, so I haven't looked at anything
Jesus.
Yet.
What do you think of? What do you think of the Wild? Are they legit? I mean, depending on who they get, Nashville or is it St. Louis? As about
yeah, they're
going to
get St. Louis. St. Louis will beat us.
Who would you rather face in the first round?
Nashville, because we can't beat St. Louis.
But you can't beat Nashville. I mean, you just beat Nashville, but you couldn't beat them prior.
No, but I don't think Nashville's as good as they used to be.
Ooh. Interesting. I don't know. I went to 2 Wild games this year, and it was awesome.
Yeah, they look really good. And look,
it's such a great young core. Huh?
So the Wolves lost by 2. John Morant, game winner. I can't be mad at that. And then we lost that one that we blew it. So theoretically, we could have swept Memphis. Even if we don't win, the fact that the Wolves made the playoffs, won at least 2 games, and theoretically could have swept this team or
they
won.
They could have won.
Games.
I mean, that's the thing, is they're a better team. But, I mean, Memphis is really great. Like, John Morant's a treasure. Like, I haven't bought a jersey or worn a sports jersey, Ryan, in maybe 5 years, 6 years. I used to be the king of them, the Illinois king to your St. Paul-ness when you were young. Well, you know, we were the same age and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been looking over the last 3 months on getting a Ja Morant jersey. Like, no joke. Not even a Bulls jersey, the DeRozan. I mean, I thought about a DeRozan, but I've been thinking about a Ja Morant jersey for, like, the longest. I was like, I think I'm just going to buy one because he's so fucking talented, pardon my French. But it's just a pleasure to watch him, but it's just great to watch Anthony Edwards, my God, that is a delight. I cannot wait to see his growth or how he can get even better, and that's a scary, scary thing. He's like a more powerful Jimmy Butler, and if he gets
great.
That mentality, it could be a really good tandem with Kat and Wiggins and everyone on that squad. So it's been fun to watch Minnesota the last, you know, couple of weeks and especially into the playoffs.
And that's why I look at, like, in a positive light, I think we're coming back stronger next year. So that's how that works. Although, God, the wild loss to the Arizona Coyotes tonight at home.
Ooh.
Yeah. Arizona was
damn
the worst team in the league until they won tonight. Now they're the second worst.
Oh, no.
We let up 4 goals tonight. Get the fuck out of here. My number 9 match of the weekend. Now I'm not irritated. Jonathan Gresham, Bandito. I went 4 stars from Supercard of Honor.
Very good main event. Or very good match, I would say. That was a really good card as well. Supercard of Honor. Tony Khan's first foray.
From the Impact Multiverse. Chris Sabin, Jay White went 4 stars. I had a lot of fun watching that match. Like, Chris Sabin is still so good with everything he does. And Jay White, it's so hit or miss where you're going to either get, like, this amazing match or you're just going to be bored match. Because he's, like, the king of the, like, TV matches. Like, you need somebody to put on a good TV main event, that's your boy right there.
By the way, a lot of wrestles.
Suzuki worked St. Louis and Detroit this weekend, too, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, he worked 2 Cold Scorpio.
Is he a warrior?
He wrestled QT Marshall at Dark Elevation. Well, he worked Kevin Blackwood at West Coast Pro. He worked 2 Cold at the Game Changer Show, and then he worked Jake something at Glory Pro. That's pretty tight.
Nice.
Where did Grandpa... Which leads me to the next thing. My next match on the show, number 7, Minoru Suzuki and Biff Busick from the Mark Hitchcock Memorial. I went 4 stars on that as well. Number 6 from another Ring of Honor show, or Ring of Honor Supercard show, Swerve Strickland and Alex Zane. I went 4 stars on that as well. The DML driver by Strickland. Thought that was great.
Nice.
What show? This was from, I think, the New Japan I think this was from the Lone Star special. Let me just make sure. What's that?
You even watched the Lone Star special?
Yeah, the New Japan one? Yep.
Yeah.
Watched all that, yep. It was that because it was the US of J Open Challenge. Jay White defeats Mike Bailey. Four stars on that one. Mike Bailey was my MVP of the weekend, too, by the way. That dude,
he was everywhere.
Yeah, he worked Yuya Nomura. He worked Bandito. He worked Effie. He worked Jay White. He worked Alex Shelley. He worked Jordan Oliver. He worked
Jesus.
Cole Radrick. He worked Davey Richards. And then he tagged with Davey against the Workhorseman at the Black Label Pro show. Oh, I watched Black Label Pro Norm, the after Mania. I forgot about that. It was J.D. Drake and Anthony Henry wrestled Davey Richards and Mike Bailey.
Wow.
I forgot that I watched that show.
What was the best speedball match then of the weekend? Or your top three? Your top three.
Well, we're still going to get to that because I got another one on the list here. So we'll get to that in a second. The Black Label Pro though was interesting because the opening match was Kelvin Tankman against the Barbarian.
What? That's tight.
Effie wrestled Charlie Haas, and Charlie Haas looked like he didn't know what was happening. Big Damo worked Warhorse and beat him up. And then Anthony Green, Alex Zane, Black Taurus, and Blake Christian had a four-way that was really good. Then Carlos Romo, Kevin Blackwood, and Titus Alexander beat Violence is Forever, Guarini and Kevin Koo and Tom Lawler. And then Guarini and Koo turned on Lawler and left Team Filthy. And then I turned off the next match because it was Cody Lane, Dan the Dad, Devin Monroe, Jody Threat, Puff, and Shane Saber. And I can't watch Dan the Dad. So I was done. And then main event I heard was good. Levi Everett on a Texas Death Match defeated Big Beef, but I didn't watch it. But so that's another show I didn't write down that I watched. So there was actually some shows that I think about now that I didn't grade. I just watched to just intake more wrestling, and I forgot about that. So I watched more than I told you. My number four match, I had John or was from Bloodsport, John Moxley, Biff Busick. I went 4.25. Moxley won with a running knee to the face. And then from the Mark Hitchcock, Bandito, Mike Bailey. I had 4.25 on that one. That was really good. Those are my two favorite Bailey matches. And then probably him and Davey would be number three.
Okay.
But Bailey
easily
my MVP of the weekend. In a surprising note, that I'm probably the highest of everybody, my number two match was from Game Changer Wrestling Planet Death, which I watched with Jordan. Cole Radrick defeats Akira via sit-up driver on tubes. I don't think Radrick's ever been in a hardcore match. And when Akira bladed him, you could tell he was like, oh, God. And then Akira was taking care of him. And like, Radrick finally, by the end of it, was taking the light tubes and slicing his chest and then charging at him and like was all into it. And I was so emotionally invested in this match. I made sure to watch everything Cole Radrick did all weekend after that.
Interesting.
And
okay.
He was out in trunks and boots and not his like pink singlet to hide everything. Like he looked like he was taking it seriously. It was good to see him on the Game Changer shows. But yeah, Cole Radrick, man, him and Akira, I went 4.5. I loved it. Would have been my match of Mania weekend. Like literally would have had the first match not happen, but I went the full 5. FTR via Big Rig defeat the Briscoes. This was
loved it.
Tremendous. I mean, this was. I know everybody
tag team
is clamoring over how great the Young Bucks FTR match was, and it was. I'm not denying that. But this Briscoes FTR match to me was just something different. I loved every minute of it.
Top 10 of the year so far, I would say.
Yeah.
Definitely on my list. But honestly, that Bucks match, for the time that they were given, told a complete story, I thought. Revved it up what it needed to be, slowed it obviously down what it needed to be. It was a brawl. It had that big match feel. Happy it went the main. Wish it was a little longer. But hey, when number three happens, you know, who knows when that'll be. But That'll be a lot of fun to see. So, but yeah, them and the Briscoes, it lived up to the hype. Again, a little bummed it wasn't the main event, but when I look back at it, it was at the perfect spot. You know, people were feeding for it. They gave it to them, and they gave them time, and that was the important thing.
Well, then we then you had the cool spot with the Bucks after it, which I wasn't expecting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
This, and I think the one thing, too, that I did like a lot about the match with the Young Bucks FTR one was the fact I truly thought the Young Bucks are winning. I truly thought
really?
They were going to win because I thought they because they're headlining that show this weekend.
Oh, the Triple A show.
Yeah, so I thought they would have went as champions to defend the titles.
Hmm.
By the way, this Triple A show. This card, I know I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but this card is so, I cannot wait for the show.
Wait, like, is Hijo del Santiago del Mondo
like,
going to be there?
Sydney's going to be posted up on Roblox, and I'm watching the show. Like,
whoa.
Like he's going to get his wish. I'm going to let him play Roblox the whole as long as he wants while I watch this. Like, I'm going to be like, it's, guess what, son? Here you go, man.
Well, just that his uncle will look after him. He's like right there.
Oh, he'll be out of town again. He's leaving
Jesus.
Tomorrow. Comes back like Sunday or Monday.
Hmm.
Like this card, it's got those four Ruleta de la Muerte tournament matches, which is like
mm-hmm.
a stipulation: the loser advances in the tournament, which I love. Ultimo Dragon, Pentagon Jr., L.A. Park, Volano, Rayo DiGelesco Jr., and Blue Demon Jr., and Kotick and Psycho Clown. Then you got Hijo del Vecino and Ray Phoenix against the Young Bucks, which is going to rock. Then we have the new Reina de Reyes champion, Ty Valkyrie, tagging with Bandido and Payano against Cibernetico, Andrade El Idolo, and Deanna Purrazzo. That'll be tight. Then we get La Facción y Gobernable, Dragon Lee, and Justilico against Taurus and Johnny Superstar. So that'll be an awesome team. Johnny Morris and Mundo, whatever. Taking on Laredo Kid, and it was supposed to be Del Rio, but I guess now it's going to be an American Indy. Then Maravilla and Latigo versus Sexy Star 2 and Octagon Jr. versus Tay Conte and Sammy Guevara. That could be interesting.
Yeah.
Lumberjack match for the Copa Triplemania 30 competitors. Or Lumberjack match to be on the show, I think. And then there'll be another Marvel Lucha Libre exhibition match.
God, you're going to love that. Who's in it this year? The Blob?
Maybe.
You're going to be a guy eating a bunch of tacos and pan. I'm Mexican, guys. I can say this. But no, I'm
like, El muy guapo. Oh, and and
Canadian, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Mexican. I can't even say that as cool as Ryan just
muy,
did.
Muy guapo. Come
oh,
on, nothing moves
it.
El guapo. Channeling his Nothing Moves the Blob from the arcade game.
Nothing Moves the Blob. Very nice.
Nothing Moves El Guapo.
Oh.
Breaking news, during Tuesday night's episode of NXT 2.0, a new vignette aired for Kaylee Ray. It was announced in her vignette that she must resurrect her past, and she's now known as Elba Fire. And you know they spelled fire with a Y.
Wait, what? That is that really her past name?
I no, but they don't want her to be Kaylee Ray anymore because they don't own the rights to it.
Yeah, but she's really good at that.
In recent weeks, you can check out just a few of these. It says so. We have Casey Catanzaro is now known as Katana Chance. Raul Mendoza is now known as Cruz del Torillo. Walter is now Gunther. Pete Dunne is now Butch. Marcel Bartel is now Ludwig Kaiser. Austin Theory is now known as Theory. Tommaso Ciampa is now Ciampa. and Raquel Gonzalez is now known as Rodriguez.
Wait, just Rodriguez? No Raquel?
That's all it says. In other news, Jinder Mahal's gig on the ABC drama Big Sky has come to an end, hence why he's been on TV.
Whoa.
Mahal played a cartel enforcer named Dhruv on the show, and the character was killed off during an episode that aired April 7th.
Oh, man, R.I.P. his character, as well as his relevance.
In a segment that involved Dhruv, in parentheses, being involved in a confrontation with protagonist Jenny Hoyt, played by Catherine Winnick, in a drug lab, the two fought and, parentheses, Dhruv, died of an overdose when the powerful drug fentanyl was thrown in his face. And that's all I got.
Wait, they really threw fentanyl in Jinder Mahal's face? That's what hindered the Jinder?
Yeah.
Was fentanyl? Wow. We got to get that off these streets, ladies and gentlemen.
Now he can't beat Ricochet. I love that when he's like, step up and fight me again. And he's the guy that took care of you. I need a bigger one. And then who's the guy with Jinder Mahal? Who's his, like, manager?
Like Rajit Singh? Was it that?
It's the guy with the... I don't know, when you go on Cage Rant, it says Jinder Mahal, birthplace, Canada.
Yeah, I was in South Dakota at a Sioux Falls show. And there was like a family, and there was like kids with Jinder Mahal signs, and I was like, and then with the Canadian symbol, I was like, oh yeah, we're near Canada.
Oh,
but it
Shanky.
Was so wild to me.
That's his name. That Shanky guy, the big tall guy. He steps in front of him, and he's like, I'll fight you, Ricochet! And like, you hear all the people in the building start like laughing.
Aha!
Good old Shanky.
No idea.
That's all I got to say about that. That we I should download that so every time we change segments, kind of like the Seinfeld, when they like a new thing happens, we should just say,
yeah.
And that's all I got to say about that.
First song.
That's all we had.
That's funny. But you know what else that we have a lot to say about, Ryan, is big news happened on last week's AEW Dynamite. Tony Khan previewed a special announcement. It was kind of on the down low, if you will, about the news of a joint show between All Elite Wrestling and New Japan Pro Wrestling. News leaked a little early. You know, maybe people knew, maybe some people didn't, but it was very cool. And when it happened, it was one of the most baller moments, I would say, that has happened, because it will be June 26th in Chicago, Illinois, at the United Center, Forbidden Door, the event, Ryan. There's so many possibilities, the curiosity of who's going to be involved, how are they going to be involved. Is ROH going to be involved? And we got to figure out how we're going to get tickets. But this event is going to be one for the books.
What I hope happens is we get an invasion, and during the dark match, we get Chi Koshikawa and Sayaka Obihiro taking on Tokiko Kiyohara and Bali Anaki in a Gato Moves Choco Pro match.
Cut to a loss in Chicago.
Look, this is something that I brought to your attention, and I said, look, man, we can't talk about this on the radio yet, but just be ready for this, because I'm 90% sure that this person's right.
Yeah.
And
they just had the day wrong.
Yeah, yeah, because that's what I said too to you. It was like, I don't know why they're saying the 23rd, because that's a Thursday. It would make more sense if it was a Friday, Saturday, or a Sunday.
Yeah.
So that was definitely
Saturday.
Wrong. I'm excited, man. This is going to be good. I get sent...
Like, would you be mad if this was like a 6-hour show? I wouldn't be mad.
No. I will say, now, I want people to know, and I'm not saying, like, I know, like, oh, I know what I'm talking about type shit, but I don't think people should get their hopes up that it's going to be all these New Japan versus AEW matches. I think this is going to be treated more along the lines of the ROH New Japan show.
Showcases.
Yeah, like with people, there's people already complaining like, well, New Japan's there, won't be any women on the show. How do we know Thunder Rosa isn't going to defend the title in the rematch against Britt Baker? Just saying. Well, not saying that it's going to happen, but also not saying it's going to not happen. You know what I mean? So I think people need to realize that. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if we were to see Desperado defend the Junior Heavyweight Championship against the returning Kushida.
Ooh.
I think that's something people maybe should look at. I know people are probably expecting or hoping for, you know, a cool big singles match or something, but I want to make sure people aren't mad if we happen to see a 10-man tag between the Undisputed Elite and Bullet Club, because I'm pretty sure that's how they're going to go. And I don't know if – I think it would be cool to see Cole and Jay White. But I'm willing to bet it's Red Dragon, Bucks, and Cole against Jay White, the Good Brothers, Chris Bay, and maybe someone, and then someone else. I don't know who the fifth would be, but don't be shocked. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I have also.
But the
heard,
big meat is like, what are your big three matches? Who do you have Danielson wrestle? Do you have CM Punk wrestle Kenta? Or the inevitable champion versus champion after Punk defeats Hangman Adam Page at Double or Nothing. Then does he get the Rainmaker? Is it champion versus champion? No unification bullshit, just a good mano a mano, as Okada requested a match with CM Punk and Bryan Danielson, you know, a month or so back in an interview. So, definitely something that we've always kind of wanted, didn't know we were going to see. Now we could eventually see it. Or do we want to finally see this grudge match, Ryan, come head-to-head with Kenta with gimmick infringements on the line?
So you want me to, like, widespread, like, jump around, book this how I think this is going to go?
Yes.
So,
and is Ibushi be back in time?
I would think so, because I think this is when Kenny's going to come back, too. I just don't know
so
what they're going
to
do.
We're going to the lovers match?
I think it'd be awesome if they worked each other, yes. I think that'd be tremendous. I think you could do it, too.
Oh, man.
So, or, you know, you could do something like...
Does Kenny show up in Japan when Ibushi comes out, and then he challenges him then?
I don't think so, because I think if they're going to wait to return him, it's going to be this. I think you could get something, if you wanted to do an intertwining thing, you could do like a random combination of Golden Lovers versus Andrade and Naito. I think you could see that.
Whoa.
Because that would make sense.
Yeah.
But so if you're going to do, I also think, you know, there's a shot you could do an MJF versus a Naito.
The promos would be interesting because Naito was just pointing up and hitting the chest, hitting, you know, spreading the eye. Tranquilo, baby, and that would get under MJF's skin. That would be interesting.
I don't think it'll happen, but I would love to see Shingo.
What do you do with Hiromu? Do you do a tag match with him,
I would
Shingo?
Love to see Shingo and Hiromu against Golden Lovers.
Oh, wow.
Like that, but let me.
I didn't know I wanted that, but I do.
Yeah, I know, right? That's what I'm saying. So before I get too off track, let me read it back in. So I think we tentatively say they're doing Punk Okada. Now there's a couple ways you go with this. Okada's got to go through Naito, and then whoever or whatever's at Dominion. I'm betting Dominion is Okada versus Ibushi. I think Ibushi comes out after he beats Naito, since he was supposed to win the New Japan Cup and be in the Naito spot. So, spoiler alert, why Zack Sabre had that run. Or Zack Sabre won the New Japan Cup.
As he should have.
Yeah, which I was so I think now they just moved.
A great match with Okada. Really fun match. Had me going a few times where I thought ZSJ might have gotten the strap. Okada just wrestled a wonderful match.
When he had every limb and he was trying to use his tongue to get a rope break. I believe he would get through Naito and I believe he would get through Ibushi, so he would come in as champion. I tentatively think it will be Hangman and Punk. The question is, do they see any reason that they have to take the title off of Hangman? As of now, no. I don't see a reason why he needs to lose. He's doing good business, and Punk doesn't need the title. So if that's the case, and they go Okada Punk, you can have Okada beat Punk, and it doesn't hurt him one bit.
Yeah.
If somehow Okada loses the title and Punk beats Paige, same thing. Punk's beating Okada. Not going to hurt them. I think if they both happen to go into the match as champions, I think one of two things happen. If they're both champions, it goes Broadway. Nobody wins, which, fine, give me 60 minutes. I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
Or they veto it, and we get Punk Kenta, and we get Okada and, say, Danielson.
Ooh. No Kenny. Or, Kenny's out the conversation, huh?
I don't think... The more, like, I still thought Kenny and Okada was the way you go, but the more and more I think about it, I don't think they're going to do it. I think that's going to be something they want to save for, like a all-in or, you know, a
I think you're right. I think you're right with the Golden Lovers aspect, whether it's a singles match or a tag match, high-profile tag match. I think is the way to go because, I mean, who doesn't want to see that reunion? It's been 3 freaking years. Like, it's wild, you know. So it'll be good for the emotional factor on either level.
Okada MJF you could do, and then just have Okada win.
What?
Like that?
I mean, maybe. What do you do with Tanahashi? What do you do with the Ace?
I think Moxley's going to wrestle whoever wins between...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Good call. He's been calling him out.
He's been calling out Tanahashi. Otherwise, if he wrestles Ospreay, then you can have Ospreay get his win back.
Wait, wouldn't we want to see United Kingdom take on the Undisputed Elite?
Yeah, but it's kind of already Bullet Club versus Bullet Club.
But you could save that for All In. They're All Out. Are they going to call it All In again since they own ROH?
I mean, I think that's part of this.
Get the F out. They'll use WWE's old promo.
But those are kind of what I am expecting.
You would pay to see Okada and MJF?
Yeah, it'd be great. Could you imagine MJF just talking all that shit and Okada just unfazed? Do you know who you're fucking with?
Does he wear the white gimmicks?
Sure. Why not? And he lays, and then MJF is laid out with a rainmaker.
If Evil is booked on this card, how pissed are you?
Oof. That'll be my... You guys want lasagnas or popcorn?
What if Jurassic Express take
Evil
on Hiromu?
Was awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was a really good match at that at the show.
Yeah.
What if we get speaking of Hiromu and Shingo taking on Lucha Express?
God, you just did what I do. Jurassic Express.
What did I call them?
Lucha Express. That's what I always call them for some dumb reason. I think because of Luchasaurus, I always call them Lucha Express.
Wait, no. Why do we don't? Oh, no. Our Red Dragon's going to be in that Undisputed Elite match. Never mind.
I'll give you a reason.
Many possibilities. So no ROH, huh? Jonathan Gresham's not going to face Kushida?
I mean, who knows? I mean, no, because why would you have your,
Shingo?
Oh, that would be cool.
That would be freaking nuts.
That would be cool. Now, I say this too. Watch, or you don't even have to watch, but read the transcripts from the in Japanese commentary during Dynamite. And, like, Shingo was on it the first week, and he was doing a lot of call-outs about people he wanted to, oh, I do that move. What a great move.
Wait, he does commentary on Dynamite?
Yeah, he does it with the main New Japan guy.
What?
Yeah, at least
that's
the
insane.
First show he did. I wonder if I can find the transcript from it.
Was he just talking shit?
Let me see. Translation thread for Shingo and Maruta's 4-6 episode. So here's some of the translations. He once saw Adam Cole's match in person at the Tokyo Dome, probably the match that ROH had against Kyle O'Reilly, so he remembered the Bebe catchphrase. He might want to do Shingo Takagi Bebe when fans can cheer in Japan.
Whoa.
Shingo said he had a match against Adam Page once in Aichi. Page said in the back comments, that guy Shingo is pretty good, and Shingo thought like, who do you think you are? Shingo felt nostalgic to see Samoa Joe wrestle because when he was on ROH tours 15 years ago, which I saw, he saw Joe wrestle in the main event scene when he worked the undercard matches. Joe was a much bigger draw than him at the time. He feels glad to see Joe is still active. Shingo knows that Joe pays a lot of respect to Japanese wrestling legends. He even thinks that Joe's closed fist punches are a tribute to his Ryukan knuckles. What else?
Interesting.
What else did he say? He got annoyed because Spears didn't finish the match with the Made in Japan-esque backbreaker. He marked out in capital letters seeing Wardlow beating up a lot of security guards. when Shingo saw Jericho Appreciation Society leaving the parking lot via van, he was like, that's a nice car. He also recognized
that.
Yeah,
what does Jericho do? Is Daniel Garcia on the card? Wow, that was, I mean. Garcia and Hiromu? Or do you do Despy and Garcia?
Despy Garcia was really good.
Yeah.
He said he also recognized that Excalibur when he saw a masked guy in the commentary team meeting him in L.A. on Bola. The table match reminded Shingo of ECW chants as a fan of 90s wrestling. He said he still chants ECW at drinking parties while the rest of the LIJ members are like, what is that, since they don't know much about ECW. He said Naito should watch more wrestling outside of New Japan.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's awesome.
Shingo asked Murata if Hardy's worked in New Japan in the past, and Murata said Jeff had a singles match against Naito for the TNA title. Then Shingo said, I wonder if Naito wrestled Jeff knowing how great he is. Nah, Naito's not interested in American wrestling. he said during the Julie Hart Hikaru Shida match, it was the first time seeing her wrestle. He likes that she uses the Falcon Arrow as a finisher, which is a tribute to Hayabusa. He said Shingo remembers he wrestled the Young Bucks many times, not only in Japan, but also the U.S. and Spain. He got super kicked countless times in Spain, so he paid it back by double pumping Bomber. He saw Young Bucks making the crowd hot in person at the Tokyo Dome.
Wow.
Shingo mentioned
that's
that
pretty
he was
cool. That's nice how he kind of paid the respects to the Bucks.
he said Shingo mentioned that he was a Ring of Honor champion about 15 years ago with Naruki Doi, FTR holding the tag belts. He said that nobody probably remembers it. what are some other good ones?
Wow.
It feels interesting for Shingo to think both of them now wrestle in front of a huge audience like the main event of the Tokyo Dome or this episode of Dynamite about the Young Bucks. Shingo said that he's an old man now, so he thinks about such things quite often. He said Americans love sharpshooters, don't they? When they saw the double sharpshooter. Shingo loved the way Dax Harwood beat up the Young Bucks after the hot tag. His praises were like, this is exactly what American wrestling is. I should take note of this great sequence. I learned much wrestling from watching the variety of AEW talents. And then Shingo popped up when Cash Wheeler used the Gory Bomb, and he used the same move with a different name, No Shigami. It got a huge reaction from the crowd, so Shingo said he has to use this move more carefully from now on.
Oh, very nice.
So, yeah, Shingo over there doing some commentary. And I love that he marked out for Wardlow beating up the security guards.
I mean, Shingo and Wardlow would be kind of fun. Two big dudes.
That's so funny. Yeah, that would be cool. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of avenues that they could do. There's a lot of ways that this could go. It's interesting. I don't want people to be upset. Like, I don't think this is going... I don't think they're going to both bulk get scared and treat this as Noah New Japan, where it's 8 6-man tag matches.
Yeah. God, I hope not. God, I hope not.
I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. I just think people need to understand that this isn't going to... Yeah, exactly. This isn't going to be what everybody thinks it's going to be, but what it will be is something great. And
bigger than the Ring of Honor show, huh?
See, I don't know. It'll be interesting because that just meant a lot. I mean, you know, your main event was Jay White finally being dethroned by Okada, which everybody wanted. You know, I still think as much as some people said it was a letdown, the G1 show here gave us that amazing Archer Ospreay match, but America got Okada Tanahashi.
I don't know. Yep.
I mean, think about that. And the people who are, like, bitching that, oh, well, there's no way they're putting any Obari in them or never going to put any Stardom on there. People got to remember one thing, too. No, there will be no Stardom. And it's not because of that. The same day, unless they're going to immediately leave after the show and get on a flight, but the big Cinderella show is that day.
Oh.
So the big pay-per-view that gave us last year, Utami and Siori, is the 26th, yep. I believe. So there's not going to be Stardom women out there. Like, figure it out, man. Like, people got to stop trying to pull out of things. Dave Meltzer, by the way, tweeted, the best women's wrestling is in Stardom. Courtney Rush, I think she's in Shimmer, quote tweeted and said, Japan isn't going to fuck you, Dave. Chill out. I just randomly saw that.
I mean, but it is the best women's wrestling.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I mean, it's not wrong.
Yeah, man, I think it's going to be really good, man. And I can't wait. We have to go to it.
Yeah. From hell or high water. Water. No, this is going to be, I mean, the Forbidden Door. I liked how Adam Cole hijacked the announcement, you know, from Tony Khan. And I liked how it was just shown. And the graphic was cool. And you're just like, this is going to be, like you said, that special event. It's close to us. Hopefully we'll get tickets go on sale May 6th, pre-sale May 5th. So yeah, hopefully we will see everybody there. Hopefully we'll get in Friday, enjoy a night or two out, and then go to the big show on Sunday. So
yeah,
looking forward
to
it. Looking.
Like I said, there's, you know, as of now, there's just three of us, so depending, you know, what we can do with tickets, or if we're gonna try to, you know, get up in that that suite type thing we were talking about that we almost did before. Yeah, man, I I can't wait. We gotta. It's gonna be fun, man. It's gonna be fun.
Oh,
this is gonna be a really good show. There's gonna be a lot of good stuff on it. This also just dropped. Will Ospreay tweeted at Kenny Omega, "You gonna be all right for June?"
Whoa.
Kenny Omega tweeted. Let me find the original tweet here. I want to go back on this here.
Was this tweeted before Elon Musk purchased Twitter or after?
So, did he buy Twitter?
Yeah.
Ospreay, there's a picture from Dontaku of him and Tanahashi. Ospreay tweeted, "This match will be very special. I'll be paying homage to Russell that largely impacted my career to show my appreciation for his contributions and sacrifice. As long as the referees don't screw me, this win will make me the ultimate Grand Slam champion." And
really?
Then the invisible hand, Don Callis, tweeted hashtag Omega Fantasy Camp after it. And then Kenny Omega tweeted, "You're making this way too obvious, but thanks, I guess." Then he was talking about him that he thought. Ospreay then tweeted, "You're going to be all right for June." And Kenny Omega responded with a gif of, oh, my God. Why can't I think of the guy's name? The dude you love that wrote, he's got a TV show on HBO. He wrote Seinfeld.
Oh, Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah, the main guy from that. I don't like
Larry David.
Yeah. Thank you.
Larry David
with a beer, and it's a gif that says, we'll see. So, I mean, Ospreay's calling out Kenny Omega for this now, too.
Wow. I mean, do we need to see that? Do we care?
I think it would be great. I think it would be tremendous.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, think Ospreay and Kenny Omega?
I'd rather see Penta and Will Ospreay. But...
Trash!
Phoenix, did he show up? Remember, he was cool.
Phoenix. I think he's almost cleared up.
What's been your take on the... I know you're not finished yet, but what's your take on the All Japan Pro Wrestling's Champion Carnival so far?
Good, we can end with this because I'm gonna go watch some Carnival. This is a perfect way to end it. Oh, I got to finish Better Call Saul. I got 15 minutes left of the Saul.
Oh, how was that show?
Never
seen it.
Never seen Saul? I'm on the weird fence where I think I like it better than Breaking Bad.
No, a lot of people do. I mean, that's just a testament to Bob Odenkirk.
I'm surprised.
But I hear about this Kim Wexler character.
Is she
a good one?
Yes, she's good. Everybody's good. Tony Dalton's incredible on the show as Lalo.
Okay.
And they kind of, oh, man, it's good. I don't want to say it. I really can't believe you haven't watched it.
Just so much more. Shout out to FTR, by the way, having the best, like, 3 months in wrestling. You remember, like, 3 months ago, I was like, why is FTR not the focal point? And then, lo and behold, it's amazing.
Let it play itself out. It's a cycle.
Yeah, and it worked wonderfully. And let's not forget their matches against, like, Moxley and Punk, you know, and, like, just some good ones over on Dynamite there. So, yeah, no, they're having a hell of a run. It's great to see. What do you think about the rumors that the WWE was interested again in FTR, but then apparently rescinded that comment and said, nah, no real interest?
Dax Harwood said money isn't everything, which probably pissed them off. Have you got into the Carnival at all yet?
No, unfortunately I have not.
So first two nights felt to me like 2017, 2018 Carnival. Like the lowest ranked match I have is 2 3/4. And that's because I thought the finish got a little abrupt, which was fine, but I also I get what they did in the match, but I also was like, eh, like you everything was fine with it, and it was the correct booking if that's how you were going to go with it. But I still, for some reason, had like a shit tasting in my mouth. But I also did. I also liked both guys. It was weird. Mm-hmm. That was night two. I went 2 3/4 on Ishikawa T-Hawk. Just a weird finish. Ooh. I won't spoil anything. So night one, everything I had was 3 and above, every match. Takuya Nomura, Yoshitatsu, 3 stars, because Takuya Nomura is just a gem. Definitely didn't work.
I was about to say, that's the only reason Tatsu should be in a 3-star.
Yeah. Nomura didn't even work that hard. Now, the show I'm watching tonight is Nomura Miyahara, so I'm like...
Ooh.
I have a cocktail that I poured while we were doing the show that I'm getting ready to shotgun and get a nice little buzz and watch that, so I'm tipping shit over in excitement. So I'm
there
getting ready for that bad boy. First night also, I went 3 stars, T-Hawk against Ryuki Honda. I went 3 1/4 on Irie versus Ishikawa. 3 1/4
Ooh.
On Ashino and Lee. 3 3/4 on Miyahara and Kumarashi. And I went 4 1/4 on Suwama and Aoyagi. And then the second night, I told you about the first match. I went 3 3/4 on Yuma Aoyagi and Takuya Nomura. Almost went to 4.
Oh.
And then 4 1/4 on Miyahara Suwama. But this tournament has been I've been so baffled. Like, are you going to get to watch this, or do you want updates as it's going? Like, do you want spoilers?
Yeah.
Are you already got spoilers?
Yeah, like I said, I unfortunately already know who won 1 Black, so...
So opening night then, because it's been so long. So Nomura beats Yoshitatsu with a butterfly lock roll up. Cool. T-Hawk beats Ryoki Honda with an O'Connor roll. I was like, all right, another roll, whatever. But then Shigehiro Irie beats Ishikawa with an elbow strike and knocks him out. They stop the match.
Oh, wow.
I was not expecting that. Then ankle via trap leg ankle lock, Ashino makes Jake Lee tap.
Oh, shit.
Which I didn't see coming. And then with a top rope senton, Kumarashi beats Miyahara.
What?
And then with a fisherman driver, Aoyagi beats Suwama. I was like, let's go. This is going to be all over the place.
It's like a changing of the guard in one night, in the first night. That's crazy.
And then T-Hawk dominated Ishikawa the whole match, and then Ishikawa caught him off guard, coming off the ropes with a Fez press and pinned him with it. So out of nowhere,
wow.
The only thing Ishikawa did, and for some reason, like, I think I need to change my rating because, like, I was a little salty, but then I'm like, I don't care. It's just Ishikawa. He should fucking win. He's tight. But I'm like, but I wanted T-Hawk to win. But then again, it's like T-Hawk dominated. And he just worked the leg. Every time Ishikawa was trying to fight back, he'd take his leg out, chop the shit out of him. But it's just Ishikawa said, this is all I got left, and just put his body size on him and pinned him. Like, that was...
Yeah.
That's like a real thing. I'm changed. We're going to 3 stars. Nothing's better than 3 in this tournament. Let's go. That's and then Nomura beat Aoyagi with a Dragon Bridge suplex. This match, if you remember when we watched Aoyagi Otani, when Aoyagi decided to take a shot at Otani and Otani got pissed and they just started going at it. Aoyagi does that again with Nomura. Nomura stands up like, who the fuck are you? And it's just they just start beating the shit out of each other. And I'm like, yeah, here we go. And then Miyahara and Suwama went 30 minutes, one draw.
Went to a draw. Why does Suwama hate Miyahara so much?
I don't know.
Why can't Suwama, he lose this?
He hits him with a big lariat. Miyahara gets up and hits him with a blackout knee. And then, like, the bell rings. And then they just start throwing punches until they get separated.
Okay, I dig that ending. That makes sense.
So I'm gonna start. I'm off work till Friday. So my goal is to get 100% caught up on Stardom and finish the Carnival these next 2 days. Stardom, I have the 2 big shows from the end of March. The one that Kairi Hojo returned at. Also has Siori versus Julia, which I'm really excited to watch, and also has the winner of that the next night gets Mayu Iwatani. Also, there was a really cool Stardom show that I watched. It was a house show. Let me go to Stardom World here.
Was Tam Nakano on that show? Tam?
Yes, Tam Nakano is on there for sure. Weak sauce. I just got a spoiler, but that's okay. I would have not been able to avoid it for the simple fact that I would have had to go past this to even get to what I was going to watch next. Oh, and the Cinderella tournament just started, too. So that's where
the regular Randy Orton hoisting the titles up at Night of Champions moment.
the Cinderella tournament just started, too. But you know what? It's a spoiler that I saw that I'm not mad about. So that's cool with me. It was the Stardom in Nagoya from March 21st. Main event was great. It was the best Ruaka match I've ever seen. It's her and Thekla. And Thekla is just, she's so tight. But it was Saya Iida. She's that little, like, really short girl who looked like a bodybuilder that you saw with the green.
Yep.
She's in the Stardom main team with Mayu Iwatani. And they wrestle Alta Lavello Kabaliwa and Julian Siori in the... They call it the Alikaba Memorial. It was the last time that they're going to tag together before they split off into their separate ways with their title match the next week and so on and so forth, focusing on Donna Del Mundo. And it's weird to see Julian Siori, who are serious beat-em-up, whip-your-ass wrestlers, when they're Alta Lavello Kabaliwa, they have Julia's in like a coral... They have like baggy tights kind of, so that's like the baggy but a tight material tucked into like their boots, and then they just have like the sports bra top type thing, and then the big arm sleeves like basketball players, and they wear like coral and like a lime green, just weird colors for the two of them, and then they have like black masks that they wear. They have like flashing lights, and they come out to Siori's music. And they have, like, a dance routine they do. And it's just weird seeing those two do, like, a weird dance routine together where, like, Julia's in front of Siori and they're moving back and forth and it's all choreographed and shit. It's so weird. But I'm watching it going, damn, this tag team in 2021, literally, if it wasn't for the Young Bucks, in my opinion, were the best tag team hands down. Doesn't matter of gender, doesn't matter company or country. They had such a great year that I was like, fuck, this sucks. We're not going to see them tag anymore, at least for the time being. So that's part of the reason I stopped. It's because then I went on a deep dive watching a bunch of Alta Lavello Kabaliwa tag matches. God, they were such a great team. Those two are so good. And it still blows my mind that Julia, I mean, what, she's a four-year pro?
Yeah, and let's not forget, they were, what, the top five PWI tag teams of 2021?
Yeah, PWI had them, I think, four.
Four, yeah. A lot
of
lists.
Yeah, Julia made her debut for Ice Ribbon in 2017. She had nine matches in 2017.
And she's already got that swagger. She's got that moveset. She's got that faction. She's just got that everything. I saw, like, photos with her and Shingo that looked cool, like they were doing. I'm like, that's fun.
Just,
so, yeah, I mean, does she venture her way out to the West, do you think?
Oh, that would be awesome. I don't know. If she does, I hope it's not the E, because they've proven they don't know what to do with talent like that. So I hope not anything crazy.
WWE has a track record with talent like that, with Piro, with Joshi. I mean, I apologize, Joshi wrestlers.
Yeah. Let me see her with Britt Baker. Let me see her with Thunder Rosa.
Let her be her.
Yeah, and they would. They don't sign people and change them. That's the advantage, you know? Like, when they signed Keith Lee, he was Keith Lee.
Does she have, I mean, do they have any past, her and Toni Storm?
No, because Julia was an Ice Ribbon up until 2019,
okay.
And Storm was gone by then. And, you know, if you look at, like, a potential counterpart a year from now, after the, you know, Siori's been wrestling since, I think, 2010, 2008, something like that. But you look back, Utami Hayashishida, who's the other, obviously, star we talked about last year, you know, Women's Wrestler of the Year because, yes, it was her and Siri, but she was the champ, so she gets a nod. But she didn't make her debut until August of 2018.
Yeah, I was about to say she's like 22, 23.
You know, she had only 32, 42, she had only 57 matches under her belt before she headlined the Start of America Dream and Big Apple show when she wrestled Momo for the Wonder Stardom title when they came for Mania Week in 2019. So she had 57 matches and she was headlining their first show in America. You know, and then she put, look at
the remember watching it, but I remember that at all. That's crazy.
You know, then you fast forward and you look at last year in June, and she has this match, this 43-minute double KO with Siori, and it's just like, oh, she's so good.
Bravo.
She is so good. It's
and then Moonlight
Kid. Yeah, she's so young. Like they got some, and bringing in Thekla, she is incredible.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff coming out of Stardom. Like I said, I'm going to get caught up on Stardom and the Champions Carnival tonight because I do want to get ready because when is, let's see, I believe, let's see, let me go through this primer here. Do we have it updated yet? No. I had the... Damn. I had it. Oh, maybe actually Cage Match might have it. Let me try Cage Match real quick, and then this doesn't have it, then I'll just Vince, yeah, it's not on there yet. This is amazing radio here, I apologize. Here we go. This is what I want. There. Yeah, so May 5th. So a week and a half from now, Dead or Alive 2022.
Yes. Yep.
Right there.
Saw the card a little earlier. I couldn't tell you what was on it, but I did see the card. I perused the card.
You know, they're advertising King of Gate. A lot of good stuff. You know, Akota Minoru's in King of Gate. Dragon Dio we see. King of Gate brackets are released now. Half of these names are in Japanese, so unfortunately I can't read them. So Dead or Alive is the hip-hop Kikuta comeback match. We get the Ryuku Dragon Pro Wrestling Soryu Championship match. KZ and UT are the champions taking on Yamato and Dragon Kid. That'll be fun. That's the, what's that guy's name? Gurukun Masks Company, I think. Who's always in there. Dragon Dia defends the Brave Gate against SB Kento. And same show, Dragon Dia and Yuki Yoshoka, so double duty, defend the Twin Gate against Shin Skywalker Diamante. That's a tag team I never knew I wanted to see so bad. Naruki Doi, Kaito Ishida, and Kota Minoru with Minorita, the mini Minora, taking on Eita, Kotaro Suzuki and Nosawa Rongai.
Oh, yucks.
I'm going to need a bath. Dreamgate match is Kai versus Susumu Yokosuka. If Susumu loses, he must leave Natural Vibes and rename himself to Susumu Mochizuki. Somebody said, tight, does that mean we're getting an M2K reunion? What was the... So I didn't get to see what was the thing you were talking about that joined Natural Vibes?
Oh, I can't tell you. No, sir. You gotta watch.
What show am I watching then?
I guess whatever one just passed. I saw it on like the Dragon Gate page, so I was kind of bummed. I was like, no. But yeah, new signee, very cool. I'm intrigued by it. I mean, I think he was a member before, but I could be mistaken.
Okay, I'm just so like I see the results, but I can't tell. I can't double pinfall, so I can't tell who won. Was it the Jason Lee negotiation rights three-way six-man tag?
Yes.
So it looks like it ended where no team won. Yamato was the first guy out, and then Skywalker and Jackie Funky Kamei got a double pinfall on Shimizu and Kyo. So nobody won. So that to me says Jason Lee went and joined with Dragon Daya's team.
Yes.
Okay, that's tight. That's a great angle. They're, what do they call that? D something? Oh, what are they called? I can't remember what their faction's called. D something, whatever. It doesn't matter. Bad radio once again here. But we got to deep dive into Dragon Gate here coming up. I'm excited to really get into it more.
And then we got the big Naito kind of match on the first as well.
That's Sunday, shit.
And then the Champion Carnival is at the B Block, correct? The finals on Friday. So a lot of good stuff coming up. Warrior Wrestling, as we stated, we believe, in St. Louis this weekend. Shout out to Impact Wrestling, apparently having another great event.
Rebellion.
And giving the strap, the belt, the championship title to Jeff Alexander, which I hear was a wonderful moment, a really good match with Moose. Kudos to Moose for the matches that I've seen from Impact since his title.
How great has he been?
He's been really, really good. Yeah.
So from what I heard, the reason that they did the way they did it was because Alexander hadn't signed a new contract, so they just kind of set it up. So if he decided to come back, they had an angle for him to then take the title. So it sounds like that's why they had him win instead of Moose just beating Christian, as they plant the seed. Mm-hmm. That way, if he didn't choose it, because I guess it was 50-50 on him resigning. It wasn't like he didn't want to, but he just wanted to just kind of take some time and just play his cards right. And, you know, and Impact, cool about it. They did that angle and it paid off because then we got this.
Yeah. Big moment. Good for him. He definitely deserves it. And Impact again, always being that low key promotion over the last couple of years, since Damore and all them, you know, kind of took it over and kind of had it in, where are they now? Like, or whatever, Canada. I don't know if they still do the Canada thing, but some really good stuff over there. So
I haven't seen a bad show really from that company since Mania Week in 2019 when RVD and Sabu against Phoenix and Pentagon, when they had a ring that was like the size of my office at work. It was like a 10x10 ring.
That
shows.
Speaking of that didn't suck, though, this was wonderful, Ryan. Thank you so much. Don't forget, go to prowrestlingtees.com/WrestleCastRadio. Again, WrestleCastRadio. Over 9 different options. Also, where you can get your Pro Wrestling Summit tees and the S1 commemorative inaugural shirts from 2021. Yep. Again, options. We got some Pyro cool shit. We got the OGs. We got the Midway. We got the Lake Show. We got the Good Goods. Also with the Good Goods, get that summer body ready. Repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Promo code, coupon code over at checkout. Save 15% off your order by using a WrestleCast. Again, WrestleCast right at checkout. Get those gains, lose some inches, feel good about yourself, build that brain, and also curb that appetite. A lot of different options that you could use depending on where you want to go. Stuff sells out fast. Sign up for the emails, wonderful, great deals that you can get. And also you can top by saving that 15%. Also, don't forget to watch Ryan every Friday night, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, over on twitch.tv/WrestleCastRadio, Pro Wrestling Summit, the hottest show in all of wrestling. Pro wrestling. I don't want to say simulators. Like, it's not a simulator, right?
No, we just You know, two athletes going to the third circle.
Announcing in all the land, and that's by the technical legend himself, Mr. Ryan Cook, also with Sportscast Radio. Don't forget to check out the Amaka Draft 9.0 leading into the 2022 NFL Draft Thursday in Las Vegas. Just think, we almost went a few months ago. What? But hey,
I'm excited.
Wrestling.
It's
so,
going to be fun tomorrow. Going to be fun tomorrow. We got Paul Pickens Jr. and Travis Waitman from predominantly Orange, Waitman covering the Broncos, and Paul Pickens from Finn Fanatic covering the Miami Dolphins. Guys, we've had them for years. Their teams don't have first-round picks, so damn it, they're going to just come join us. And the two of them, myself and Luke, are going to just randomly we're just going to randomly pick for the teams that don't have writers that are on the show. So we're just going to have some fun with it. It's going to be tight. It's going
to
be tight.
Can we check that out? Should be good. Who do you want the Vikings to get before we go?
I would love Sauce Gardner, but he won't be there. Stingley would be cool. Kyle Hamilton would be cool. I wouldn't mind Jeffries out of Florida State, the edge rusher. Yeah. Otherwise, if they want to trade back, get a couple picks, I wouldn't be mad to and do something else. But I just – or, you know, go ahead and – if Drake London's there, grab the receiver out of USC. The kid's 6'5".
Oh, yeah.
He's got hands. You know, you put him out there with an aging Thielen and Jefferson and – you got some more weapons, but I'm excited. I think there's been a lot. This is the craziest draft. I'm trying to figure out who's going where I've ever seen. Like I've almost had three different players at number one in my mocks, in my five mocks. And I've had three different players at pick number two. And I think I've had four out of my five different at three.
Wow.
So I really don't know what's going to happen.
That's the first time in a long time. Mm-hmm. You're baffled.
Gonna be a good show. But yeah. I'm excited, man. We will. We're gonna figure out next time we get back to you. Hopefully, we can get back to you after New Japan. Maybe Alex, we get in here after Sunday. We can talk New Japan. We can talk Champion Carnival Finals. Break down Dragon Gate, the Dead or Alive show, and also
yes,
and then we can talk some King of Gate too.
Very excited! Cannot wait. Until next time, don't forget subscribe and review wherever you pod your cast. Apple, Spotify.
Oh, I have one more thing. I apologize. If you don't watch AEW Dark or Dark Elevation. On Monday, he's here, folks, and he was on the latest episode of Being the Elite as they were talking, the Bucks were talking mad shit to Brandon Cutler for being a punk and yelling at them. And they said, you know, Brandon Cutler, you know, you're going to get your ass kicked. You know, you're going to get your ass kicked on Monday's show. And he's like, Nakazawa, tell him. And Nakazawa was like, Brandon Cutler, you are going to get your ass kicked, man. Because this man is the former DDT heavyweight champion.
What?
And he is here, and you will be facing Takeshita Konosuke. And Konosuke Takeshita was standing there, and they're like, you know what, Brandon, we heard he's a better videographer, too. Maybe we'll make Takeshita two contracts, Konosuke, or three contracts, and we'll get him another contract because he's good at everything. And they put Takeshita over huge on Being the Elite and then advertised his match. They're like, let's not forget he had two matches during the pandemic with no fans, and he made events in one of them tagging with Kenny. So
yeah.
Why don't you take that, Brandon? So I gotta turn on Elevation and watch Takeshita beat the piss out of Brandon Cutler.
Wow, I'm excited to catch that. Thanks for the insight, DDT. I miss you. Tetsuya Endo's the champ. You know, that's why Takeshita, or gosh, you say it so much better. But that's why he's on the sixth grade. going to be really good. And who knows, Ryan, maybe he'll be a part of Forbidden Door. But
well,
until
that's
next
what
time,
I still said. Hold on, no, no, I don't. I'm so glad you said that. And I don't mean to keep this going. But I said at Forbidden Door, why don't you do Happy Motel?
Whoa.
Which is Kenny Omega, Kota Ibushi, and Kenosuke Takeshita. That was their six-man team in Dragon Gate, or DDT. Why don't you do Happy Motel?
That was a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was a thing. Why don't you do them, and you could have them work, I don't know, have them work, or if you don't have anything for Moxley and Danielson, do them against the Blackpool Combat Club.
Oh, man. Do you, yeah. Or, I mean, or do you do the Undisputed, or, you know, Red Dragon and Adam Cole?
I still think they're going to be in that Bullet Club Undisputed Elite match. I really think that's going to be a thing. But I could be wrong, and if they did Cole and the Red Dragon, fantastic. Or give me Jericho, Garcia, and Swagger. Or give me Kingston and LAX.
Yeah, give me that. That works.
So, a lot of opportunities, but I just thought I'd point that out. After I finish, like I said, I got 13 minutes of Saw, and then I'm going to watch that to catch in the match. And also, Thursday's finale of Tokyo Vice, damn it. They're putting out two episodes a week on Tokyo Vice, but I'm like, I've heard there's 10 episodes, so I have a feeling they may release three episodes on Thursday.
Okay.
Kind of like they did, like how the first week they did three the first week, then two, and then two, which then they could do three again, and then that's all 10. So if that's the case, Wednesday, 2 a.m. Central Standard Time is when they drop. So I'm excited. One of my favorite shows I've seen in a long time. This show's so good.
Nice. And you know the culture, so it's even better. It's like you're back there.
Sato's my homie. He's tight as hell. I'll watch him sing the Backstreet Boys all day.
Good night, folks.
Hasta mañana.